Thank you and good morning, everyone. So I'm going to take a little bit of a risk here, and I'm going to ask you all to stand up and stretch, because I have been a participant in this conference for the last 3 days, and I know what you're going through, but you can't leave. Okay. It feels good to stretch.
Oh, thank you.
And I also have very good news for you, and I have a short presentation of 5 slides, so hang in there. So thanks, Mike, for that introduction. And I have no relationships to disclose. This is just an overview of what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to give a brief overview of our program, and I'm going to talk about specifically some of the initiatives that you haven't heard about yet so far, so I don't repeat the same things, because we're all working on very similar objectives through the grant. Then I'm going to talk about why we're focused on policy and environmental change. And actually, when we're talking with our partners and in the community, we never use the term policy and environmental change, because people, first of all, they don't like the word policy, and they don't know what environmental change is. So we actually use the term for policy guidelines, and from environmental change, we talk about physical changes, and that seems to resonate better with people. I'm going to talk about equity and how that's integrated into our work, and as you've heard from some of my colleagues, that's a major focus of our work through the grant. And then talking about, I'm going to acknowledge our partners, and as was said before, we could never do this work without all of our partnerships. And one of the things that when I met with the superintendents early on through this grant, they told me they wanted our program to do was to really reach out to the community on partnerships, because as Michelle talked about, they're really in a really tough situation, the school districts, with their budget constraints. So we are going out and partnering with the business community, neighborhood associations. I even have a meeting next week with a property owner of low-income housing in 2 of our districts who wants to give back to the community, and he understands the big picture of his residents being healthy and living in healthy environments. So we're always working on these partnerships, and it's so key to our work. And then at the end, as Mike said, we're going to open up for questions for all of us. So this is the key elements that our 7 school districts and our 60 after-school programs are working on. The 2 that I've highlighted that are a little bit unique to what we've been talking about is we do have a drinking water objective, and this is around access and promotion of fresh drinking water. We have a campaign called Bring Back the Tap, and that's an initiative for all of Multnomah County, and we're integrating that into our work with the schools. So we've involved youth, like has been talked about, around the messaging around drinking water, and this obviously is to get kids to be drinking more water as opposed to the sugary drinks that are available. And so the school districts have used the grant funding to purchase new water fountains, upgrade water fountains, and then new water containers. And you'll see a picture of the water containers that are in the school cafeterias. And this actually aligns with the recent changes to the Child Reauthorization Act, where water must be available in the cafeteria during meal times. And then the final one, the final bullet, is around, Mike called it health impact assessments, and we started with that in this grant, but actually our school district said to us, there is no way we can do an entire health impact assessment when we're doing a school opening or school closing. We don't have the resources or money. For those of you that know about health impact assessments, they're very costly, they're very extensive to do. So what we did instead is we worked with them and said, what could you do? And they said, well, a tool that would be helpful for us is thinking about decisions we have to consider when we're opening and closing schools. So I can email this to you. It's in draft form now. But we have developed a tool that they look at different questions, such as access to grocery stores and the negative access to convenience stores or fast food restaurants. Then walkability, so when a school closes, are kids going to have to walk too far, or is it just so far that they can't walk or bike to school? We're looking at things like school gardens. It's a pretty extensive tool, and then the other piece of it is that they're writing into policy and their wellness policies that they will do a health assessment on school closings and openings. So we've also developed draft policy language, different versions that they can choose from when they're adopting this policy. And this particular objective came about because one of our schools in North Portland, which is a real, it's a community that serves the underserved students in our city. And what happened was, it was a Portland public school, which is the largest district in our county. They closed the school, and Portland Public didn't maintain the property. So then what happened was, there was a lot of graffiti, litter, gangs came in, and there was increased crime. It was adjacent to a city park. So then the residents of the community really got concerned, because they didn't feel like they could access the park for their families. And so that's where this came about. And this particular one, and actually there's others here as well, when we talked to the school districts about this objective, they said, that's not really something we need to deal with right now, because we're not closing a school and we're not opening a school. And we said, that's exactly why you want to develop a policy. You want to be proactive and do it now, because eventually this is going to be something you're going to deal with, whether it's closing a school or opening a school. The other one on here that I would say relates to that is the marketing. Actually, I don't think I listed that here, but there is an objective around marketing of unhealthy foods. That's an objective where we're asking school districts to develop policy language around, and they said that's not an issue for us now. And again, we came back and said, that's why you need to write this in policy. Preserve the culture you have now. And this one in particular around marketing is that a lot of times we're asking them to think a little bit proactively. So I don't know if you've heard, but jurisdictions are actually selling sidewalk space to corporations, where they're buying sidewalk space and they embed the logo into the cement when they're building sidewalks. Like, who would have ever thought 10 years ago that that would happen, right? So and it's kind of challenging writing these policies sometimes, because you are thinking, you try to take one step ahead of corporate America, which Michelle and I talked about before, and that's a challenge. So again, why are we focused on policy, or again, what we say guidelines or physical changes? And the reason we talk about this with our partners is that traditionally when they think of wellness, they're thinking of education, they're thinking of cooking classes, they're thinking of walking competitions. And that's all great, and we support that, but this grant is really focused on policy and environmental change. So we really have to sell them on this concept. And we do it by saying it's less costly. So when you compare writing a policy to doing a cooking classes, it takes resources, it takes money to put it on. So it leads to behavior change amongst all students. Again, a policy will affect the entire culture of the school community, compared to a walking competition or a cooking class or a health fair. It only affects those people that attend that class or go to that event. Again, it affects everyone, so it goes along with this culture change. And then it's more sustainable over time. So you can sustain policy because it changes that culture, as opposed to doing one particular event initiative. Okay, and then in terms of equity, again, this is something that is a major focus of this grant, and we're all working on this. And really, when we talk about equity, it's really involving the underserved communities, and we do that through our wellness committees, so trying to recruit students and parents that represent the underserved communities. I had a principal tell me the other day that I have a community health worker that reports to me, and he works in a school, one particular school, and it's a very diverse school, and he's Hispanic. So he is always trying to recruit the Hispanic parents and students, but they have a large Somali population, and then a large African-American population. And the principal said, you put flyers out in different languages, and that's all great, and it's in our newsletter, but I want more. She said, I want people from those communities recruiting the parents and students. That's the way to get them engaged. So now what we do is, we have recruited people, our partners and colleagues that represent the Somali community and the African-American community, to go out in front of the school before International Walk and Bike to School Day and hand out the flyers and connect directly with the parents. Because just doing flyers or putting out notices in newsletter is not enough. So I was really glad that she expressed that to me, and hopefully it'll make a difference in our recruitment of those students and parents. The second bullet is that when we're giving presentations or meetings, obviously we're in a lot of different meetings with partners in the county, we're always advocating for those that work with schools to look at where the need is the greatest. So that's another way to get at equity, because a lot of times our partners are doing work or don't really understand the barriers that our communities are facing in the underserved communities. So we're always challenging them to look at where is the need the greatest, and that's where you should be doing your work. And then implementing initiatives in targeted schools. So when I was talking about the drinking fountains and the water containers, and that's a picture of the water containers in the cafeteria. So you can see it's a clear water container. And then I think in this one, one of the districts are floating orange slices and lemon slices. And interestingly enough, the students didn't like it. They didn't know what it was, so we ended up taking it out. They just like plain water. But the initiatives in terms of things like this, like physical changes of school gardens, walking paths behind schools, the water containers, we're implementing in the schools that represent the underserved communities initially. And also with piloting different policies, we're implementing those at those schools. And the way we identify those schools is looking at their percentage of free and reduced lunch. And then, again, considering effective communication strategies, I said before that just putting things in different languages isn't enough. You've really got to reach out to people in underserved communities, even inviting them to meetings and different events. It's not enough just to send a flyer and invite them, because a lot of times people that represent those communities don't have calendars like most of us do. So you have to call right before the meeting or the event and make sure they're coming, or make sure they have a way to get to the meeting or the event. Okay, so again, these are our funded partners, and you can see the seven school districts at the end of these bulleted items. But really, all of these partners are working with us on this initiative, and many of them have never worked with school districts before, so it's been a little bit of an education process of how to work with schools, but we're hoping that this is one way to sustain this work, that now that they have these partnerships, even when this grant ends, they will continue to support and bring resources to our school districts. So that's the end of my presentation. Thank you very much.